So, wow. So Jesus, he goes to this mountain, right? And we describe it as this Sermon on the Mount, right? And it says he calls his disciples. They come up there and begins to teach them. It's in Matthew chapter 5. And then he makes this comment to them in Matthew chapter 5. I think it's around verse 13. Couldn't write it down. And he says to them, to his disciples. Everyone say disciple.
Disciple.
He says to the disciples, he says, guys, you are the salt of the earth. Everyone say salt.
Salt.
Salt. So, help me, Gail, I mispronounce it. In the Greek word is halas. H-A-L-A-S. Halas. Is that all right? I'm close enough? I'm close enough. All right. Halas means prudence. Prudence. Salt, halas, prudence. And I listened to a pastor named Dr. A.R. Bernard teach on this. And you look at the word prudence, some of the words that go with this is this: wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. I'll say it again. Wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. What the Lord was saying to his disciples, and we're moved from just being a regular old believer to being an active disciple, he said, you disciples, you are the salt of the earth. That means you carry wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. And I need to be able to sprinkle you all over the earth. Because when I sprinkle you all over the earth, you're going to bring with you wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. That's why it's critical for us and for God to sprinkle us in different areas of life. In our educational system, we need salt because we need wisdom, right? Discernment and sound judgment. Amen?
Amen.
In our government offices, God sprinkles people there because in those offices, they need what?
Wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment.
Look, he's called us to be disciples. Now listen, guys, you are the salt of the earth. In the political field, Oh man, we need wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. Amen?
Amen.
We are called to be the influencers in God's kingdom here on earth.
That's right.
And so when you come to the table, I don't care what table it is, educational field, business field, sports field, health, whatever it is, when you come to the table, guess what you bring? Wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. Because you, as a disciple, are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why God wants you. Listen, he doesn't want you just here in this building.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Just pouring off salt on each other. You need salt on unseasoned food.
Right.
Amen. I want you to understand this. The world is unseasoned food.
Yeah.
And when you come into that classroom, that courtroom, that conference room, and you begin to speak, what comes out of your mouth, the world that tastes pretty good. Because you bring wisdom, what else?
Discernment.
And what else?
Sound judgment.
That's what you bring to the table. Every time you meet for a meeting, that's what you bring. And they will look at you and say, dang, I never heard that concept before. Because you're the salt of the earth. And the Spirit of God is going through here. And you bring wisdom, discernment, disciple. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God is talking to you.
Right.
Telling you, we have the answer to the vision. Mm-hmm. Jesus, can you come? Just give the answer. Because you know there's something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got wisdom. You've got discernment. Mm-hmm. Huh? You need sound judgment.
That's right.
It's in you. And as a disciple, God's going to develop that in you. We're not called to control the situation. We're called to influence. Mm-hmm. We're called to influence. Mm-hmm. At the high school, I had influence. I didn't have the authority. Because I didn't have the required people, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I had the influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so there'd be times when those who had the authority would come to the influencer to correct the situation.
Exactly, yeah.
So one time I got heated. Because you brought this person in and gave the authority, and they can't handle it. Now you would have come over to my desk and asked me, "Can you help them out?"
Yeah.
But I'm the salt of the earth.
Right.
I have to allow God to sprinkle me.
Right.
Because in me, there's wisdom, there's discernment, and there's sound judgment.
Right.
Because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I want to establish that fact. You're a disciple. You be a disciple, you become better at being a disciple. You carry this wisdom and discernment and sound judgment. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18, I'm going to read 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go." Everyone say go.
Go.
"Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." If you look at church history, you notice when he told them to go and he left, they didn't go. They hung around Jerusalem. It's comfort to get home, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so what God allowed, you could say, God allowed persecution.
Exactly.
And when persecution hit, they had to go.
Yeah.
And when they went, they delivered the gospel all around the known world. Mm-hmm. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Making implies there's going to be required effort. "Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Then it says, "You got to teach them to observe all the things that you've heard me say." All right, you got to teach them the same things. All right, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth." And you may look and say, "Well, a believer, disciple, is there a difference?" And I'm going to share what I believe and maybe a few differences. Again, we're not going to fight over the word believer or disciple. We're going to hone in on what a disciple is supposed to look like. Let me share this with you. A believer believes in Jesus. Only a believer believes in Jesus, but lives to please themselves.
Mm-hmm.
A disciple believes in Jesus and lives to please God.
Yes.
All right? A believer exalts their opinions, feelings, and thoughts above the Word of God. The disciple exalts the Word of God above their own opinions, feelings, and thoughts. So listen to this. I've got my opinion on a particular issue. That's my opinion. But God's word says this is truth. I have to decide whether I'm going to follow my own opinion or I'm going to agree with God. Amen? Because a guy who I'm just going to be a believer. I will settle for what is convenient. It's convenient, and so I'll just settle for that. But God's word requires a higher standard for us, and so I've got to put my own opinion down and trust what God says is true, that it is true. So I exalt his word over my own opinion. A believer thinks of church as a place they go to hear what God's word says. A disciple thinks of church as a place they learn to do God's word says. So it's not good enough just to be a hearer. It's not good enough just to know theory about love. I gotta love.
Right.
I know that it's right to love. I can quote the scriptures about love, but I have to love. I have to actually live it out.
Right.
I can quote all the verses about love, but if I'm not living it out, I'm just like this sounding brass, tinkling cymbal.
Right.
A believer are accountable only to themselves. A disciple are accountable to everyone. There was a dude who didn't want to really follow God's instructions. He's in the Old Testament. He got on his donkey, he took his journey, to go do something he had no business doing. And he tried to go, and the donkey stopped. And when the donkey stopped, the guy would use a little whip and would beat the donkey, right?
Yeah.
And he did this two or three times, and finally, God enabled, which is crazy when you think about it. You think about things that are weird. I'm not, weird is all through the Bible.
Yeah.
But it's weird.
Yeah.
And so God enabled this donkey to speak, and he spoke this truth to this man. I don't care if it's a young child, if God gives them wisdom to give to me, I need to at least listen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
I need to listen. A believer serves God based on convenience. But a disciple serves God based on conviction. This is what God wants me to do. It ain't convenient. You gonna be convenient for me to get up at 4 something in the morning? Come get a bunch of guys at 5:30. That ain't convenient.
No.
I'm convicted by what God wants us to do. I'm convinced that God wants us to do. And so this thing is not about convenience, it's about conviction. What does God want me to do? A believer seeks to know God through religion. Disciples seeks to know God through relationship. I want to know him. I want to know him. I don't want to know just about him. I don't want to come here Sunday after Sunday and clap my hands and sing my song. I want to know him.
That's right.
I want to know him.
That's
don't
right.
you want to know him?
Yes.
A believer chooses their own path and then asks God to bless him. A disciple asks God to choose a path and then follows God's direction. You know, sometimes you just want to choose your own path. God, I want to do this. Can you bless it? Well, no, wait, you got it all backwards. You see, a disciple is really one who follows another person. And so the disciple, we're called to follow who? We're called to follow Jesus. But it's not easy to be this disciple. So go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to read some verses starting at verse 25.
Okay.
Luke chapter 14, verse 25. When you see this, it say, man, you have it. It is. Amen. You have it. So here it is. Now great multitudes went with him. So there are a lot of folks following. And he turned and said to them, get this in your mind as a movie. They're huge crowd. They're walking. He sees them walking alongside him, behind them. And he's doing miracles, and he's healing folks, he's doing all of that. And, you know, we all like a crowd, don't we? You know, being a crowd. Oh, yeah, I was there. You post pictures of you were there in this crowd. I know these young kids from high school, they went to a basketball all-star game some years ago. I think it was in L.A. or somewhere, Las Vegas, somewhere. And they posted these pictures with these famous people. You don't know them. Yeah. You just posted like you don't know him,
yeah.
But they already around the crowd, and so we've got this huge crowd following Jesus. Jesus walking, and Jesus, the Bible says, and he turned, and he said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters." Yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, you know, we have jewelry made out of crosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice. But the cross was this thing of torture.
Yeah.
It represented torture and pain. You know, we just see it looks good to wear the cross, right? If anyone did not bear his cross to come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, you can't follow. If you're not willing to forsake everything that you have, you can't follow me. Because there are going to be some requirements I'm going to place on you that you're not going to want to do unless you have sold out for me. So you need to sit down right now before we take this journey. Remember, they got a great multitude they're following. And he knows all of them not in it for the long haul. So he starts to listen, guys. If you're not willing to put this aside, lay this down, you can't follow me. Is it a hard saying? Yeah, it's a hard saying. Because we think that, you know, if I say this or do this, okay, I'm ready. Listen, you're ready to come to cause. Whether you want to be a disciple, this follower of Jesus Christ. Because you gotta put mother to the side, brother to the side, father, everything, you gotta follow him. And so we say that's impossible to do. Watch this. You do it all the time. Your boss say, you gotta leave your mama and your daddy be at 8 o'clock in the morning. You got to stay here 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And after 4:30, you can go back home. Mm-hmm. If you can't do this, you can't work for me.
That's
right. And what do we say? Okay. Because in exchange for our time, we want to get money that we use to borrow for goods and services. And so the idea is not a strange idea once you look at it. Because, people, how many here have gotten out of bed when you didn't want to go to work?
Every day.
you plan your vacation around your work. Amen? You left wife or husband or kids in the bed. Right? And you wanted to be with them, but you left them to go to work. So you sacrificed. You turned from all of them because you wanted that paycheck. And Jesus saying, I've got much more than a paycheck. Hallelujah. If you're not willing to do that, you can't be my, no, you can't run. Because that's one of the things I'm going to take you through. If you're not sold off of me, you just going to go in the town. I just can't live safe no more. You become a cause. Sometimes we fool people thinking that coming to Jesus makes everything easier. When you come to him and commit to be a disciple, it's going to require you to give up a lot of stuff. The exchange for better stuff, no doubt, but you're going to give it up. There are some people that you're going to have to separate yourself from. I'm going to share three more comments or three more things with you. This word passion, because this disciple of Jesus is passionately committed to Jesus. Passionately committed to Jesus. If you think about when you first gave your life to the Lord Jesus and the passion you had for him, I don't care what he asked you to do, you did it. You didn't need a team to go with you. You were knocking on doors, passing out tracts yourself. You didn't need the pastor to take off. You did it yourself. That you're passionate about Jesus. Passion is a strong or extravagant feeling towards something, and emotion that motivates you beyond just average living. You passionate about someone or something, man, you're just totally into it. How many of you guys like video games? You like video games? Okay, so I'm not talking about you. I'm just asking. Okay, nobody likes video games in here. Okay, I was just saying guys, gals, okay. Listen, I'm mentoring a kid to high school, and he tells me he's playing some crazy game. He's there playing 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And somehow he's connected with others around the world, right? And they're just playing together, they're just, you know, talking, and all that type of stuff. He's passionate about that.
Right?
Right? It's beyond me. I ain't gonna do it. But a passion is a strong or extravagant feeling towards something, an emotion that motivates you beyond average living. We want to be passionately committed to Jesus. All right? Number one, pleasing God takes precedence over pleasing people. When I'm passionate about Jesus, pleasing God takes precedence over pleasing people. If there's an issue between you and God, I'm going to choose God.
Amen.
If there's a decision to be made about the things of God and what you want me to do, I'm going to choose the things of God. That's a disciple, because I'm following after him.
That's right.
And where he leads me, oftentimes he leads me away from worldly activities.
That's right.
And so I have to be willing to cut worldly activities away so I can follow him. Jesus went up to these guys, in fact, two sets of brothers. They working on a job, their own business. And he says to them, I don't know how he says it, but he says, come follow me. I don't know how he said it. I don't know his tone of his voice, but he said, come follow me. And the Bible says those sets of boys left a family business. Mm-hmm. love of Jesus, you will choose to follow him, choose to please him more than the world. Because Jesus, he's going to require some things of you that are nice, convenient things. But the Lord's going to say to some of you, yes, some of you, and I've said this before, he's going to say to some of you, I don't want you watching that anymore. Mm-hmm. And not that what you watch is necessarily sin, but it doesn't help you produce a Christ-like life. That make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
So it's just not, I'm not saying it's sinful, right? But as you move towards this being a disciple of Christ, this right here does not help you become a better disciple. I love drinking milk. I become red. But I know that drinking the amount of milk that I drink does not assist in my weight loss program. I drink the whole 2%. But I know it doesn't help me get to where I want to be at.
Right.
Right? And so if I want to get to where I want to be at, I got to cut loose of that.
Okay.
Number two. A disciple, this passionate guy or lady who's passionate about Jesus, is willing to follow him regardless of the cost. Luke 14:27 says this, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. Bear the cross. That means there's going to be something that you're going to have to carry on behalf of Christ. Yes. Sometimes that carrying of an item could be just having your mouth shut when you want to speak. And say, if you want to be my disciple, you need to be quiet right now. Luke 14:33 says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You want to bear your cross, and you don't want to forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. You can't do it. So listen, he's talking to this huge crowd. Listen, you think you want to follow me? Well, you better think about it. You better think about it. Do you really want to follow me? Because you can't. You want to bear your own cross. You want to forsake everyone else. You cannot be my disciple. It's not about funny games. It's about real life and accomplishing the goal that I set forth for you to do. If you're not willing to do that, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot. Number three, this passionate follower, disciple of Jesus, everything you do in life becomes extraordinary. Now let me read this from the Methodist Bible. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says here, so here's what I want you to do. God help you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants for you and quickly receive respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. When you are this passionate person following Jesus Christ, everything you do becomes extraordinary. At work, you become extraordinary. In fact, you become the best worker on your job. You become the best mom and dad in the home. You become the best brother and sister. When you give your life to Jesus and follow him, your life becomes extraordinary. Everything that you do just changes. God puts his hand on everything that you do. Listen, Jacob was trying to get jacked around by his father. Like, you know the story of Genesis? You know what? But God blessed the hand of Jacob. No matter how many times Laban tried to get over him, God blessed him. Why? Because he was a follower of God. I want you to know, men and women of God, when you are a follower of Jesus, your life becomes extraordinary. No matter what your boss or co-workers try to do to you, when God has blessed you, no man can curse you.
That's right.
You will be above and not beneath. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be extraordinary. And they will see a difference in you. And when what is it about you? And you say, it's got to be Jesus.
Yeah.
It's got to be Jesus. How did you get from here? You just started the job 3 months ago. How you going to be my boss today? Gotta be the Lord. When you go to school, you write extraordinary papers.
Amen.
Huh? The words just come off. You just write. You don't know. Just God just downloading to you.
Yeah.
When you're on your job, you finish your work early. You look for more stuff to do because everything you do is extraordinary because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a disciple, and God begins to anoint everything that you do. Hallelujah. Listen to this. You are the salt of the earth. Right? That means you have what? I'll say it again. Wisdom, discernment, and what?
Sound
judgment. Everything you do is extraordinary.
Yes.
Everywhere you go, things happen. Glory to God. Folks are going to start buying you lunch. They make a mistake in the restaurant. Say, oh, we had an extra this. You want it? Yeah, I want it. That's extraordinary. Amen? Glory to God. You get free stuff from the mail. Because you're just a disciple of Jesus Christ. God begins to bless you. Open up his storehouse onto you. Because you're extraordinary. Because you're a follower of Jesus. You're willing to pay the cost that's required to be a follower of him. And so he turns to the crowd and he says, listen. You're not able to do this, you can't be my disciple. You read another passage where a group of the followers, those who said they were followers of him, the multitude, they said, dang, that's a hard saying. And then the Bible says, and they turned, they went back home. And Jesus, I love Jesus. Jesus didn't care. He was his old man, right? He was his old man. He gave us 1 or 100 or 1,000. He turned to the 12. He turned to them. He said, y'all want to go too? Now, you can tell he wasn't a pastor. The pastor said, y'all staying, right? He said, only y'all stay. By Jesus. He can turn to the last 12. Can you, in your mind, you turn? You need to. And Peter said, well, where are we going to go? You only got the words of life. You ain't going nowhere. Jesus didn't care. He was on a mission. And a disciple is on a mission. But he does not care what the others say or do around him. You're going to follow Jesus, right? And so I want us to be that type of church where we follow him, no matter what the cost is. It's going to take time away from the family times. I understand that. So, men, You gotta come to calls. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it to you to get up that early in the morning?
Right.
And it may not be. But for some, it may be. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? Glory to God. Is it worth it getting up and going to your prayer closet every morning and seeking the face of God for direction? Because you're following Him. Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta make the decision. Do you want to be just this, the ordinary believer? You want to be this disciple who was passionately, fully committed to the Lord. And no matter what the price is, I'm willing to pay it because I want to follow you. And if you do that, He's going to make your life extraordinary. He's going to make it extraordinary. Right?
That's right.
And everything that you touch, things just happen. You go into your place of work or school, and what comes out of your mouth, because you're a disciple and you are the salt of the earth, and it's wisdom. Discernment. Listen, you raise kids, you need to be the salt of the earth. Because when they come home and you ask them what they did today, and you know they brought in that look, that discerning look. Well, listen, you know, as a kid, my parents were sometimes asking me a loaded question. They already discerned what the issue was, right? You were the salt of the earth. That gave you wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. You are the salt of the earth. You're called to be His disciples. You want to move from just being this regular member of the body and be this fully active disciple of Jesus Christ. Willing to pay whatever price it is to follow Him. And so He's going to challenge some of you on giving. Oh, yes. Because some of us have been at this level of giving for years. And God says, I'm going to challenge you to give more. Some of you is going to be in your study of God's Word. And we've been doing this routine for years. And He says, I want you to do more now. As my disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever area it is, God will challenge you this year to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And based on your willingness to pay the price, will determine how well of a disciple you become. He told Peter, to listen, man. You're going to die this way. What he told Peter is, you're going to be crucified, and then you're going to die for me. Can you imagine the Lord telling us, listen, the way you're going to die and be crucified? Do I want to follow? Polycarp, one of the early martyrs in the first century, they said that he was instructed in the things of God by the Apostle John. And I think I've seen this before, it's in the Book of Martyrs. The Roman government wanted him to say no to his allegiance to Jesus. And Polycarp, he's 86. And the Roman government, they sent soldiers to his house. He knows why you're coming. History tells us that when they came to arrest him, he made a decision to fix them dinner. They come to arrest him. He's 86. So they have dinner. They take him in. And they say, tell Polycarp, just renounce Jesus and you can live. And Polycarp says this, he says, listen, I'm 86 years old. He's done nothing wrong against me in these 86 years. I'm not going to deny him now. And so they brought him to this forum, and they were going to let the lions attack him. But the leader of the Roman government at that time said, no, we're going to burn him at the stake. And typically, when they burn at the stake, they have to tie you down because they didn't try to run or jump out of it, right? And Polycarp says this, some of the disciples who were willing to pay the price, become the cause. He said, listen, guys, there's no need to tie me down. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not running. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not running. And so they lit the flame. He didn't run. He didn't try to deny. He was willing to forsake everything for the cause of Christ. Now, God may never ask you to burn at a stake or to be crucified for him. He may just simply ask you to, can you stop doing that? Can you turn that off? I don't think you want to hang with that person any longer because they're not helping you become more like me. Can you do that? And you have to be willing to pay the price of yes. I'll turn that off. I'll stop doing that. Even though I like this person, you know, I'll stop hanging out with them because my goal is to follow you. Everyone stand to your feet.